The Lost Sheep, a poem by Margaret de Ritter. 77 pounds of wool on that merino sheep who got lost in the outback. 2 years carrying his burden, could barely see, so much wool covering his eyes. Face and legs scratched and bloody. Must have run into trees, brambles as he wandered alone, searching for grass, clover, weeds. Rescuers dubbed him Barack, and his ordeal wasn't funny. He barely survived, underweight beneath his load. Most sheep need shearing every year, bred to keep us warm. Before we domesticated them some 10,000 years ago, they grew long, fluffy fleece in the winter and shed it in the summer. The fleece found on Barack could yield 61 sweaters, 980 socks. Only Chris, a ram from Canberra, had him beat, 90 pounds of wool, twice his body weight. I know those lost sheep deserve to have their own poem, deserve to be more than a parable or metaphor. And yet I can't stop thinking how some of us carry pain and grief like a fleece we can't shed. How we wander with it for years, scratched and starving and staggering beneath its weight, hoping some good shepherd will find us and shear it all away. And our story for today, the shepherd, once he has found that one stinking sheep, invites everybody to this party, proclaiming, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." And how can we not rejoice and celebrate God's grace? Just like that hymn, "Amazing Grace," once we were lost, and now we are found. We've all felt lost from time to time. You may even have a good story of when you were lost, how scary it felt, how someone came to your rescue and found you once again. We know Jesus always cares for the ones that are lost and lonely and marginalized. This story of the lost sheep is in every single children's Bible I own, and I have many. It's all about grace, isn't it? Grace, grace, grace. Last week, we got that non-fruiting fig tree that gets another year. And this week, no matter how far the sheep wanders, Jesus will find you and carry you home. These beautiful images remind us how limitless, how merciful, how generous, how ridiculous God's love is for us. This is a story that makes no economic sense. And I love how Jesus phrases it, assuming that everyone's going to agree with him and the actions here. Which one of you, having 100 sheep, losing one, does not go out and find the sheep, leaving the 99 in the wilderness and going after this one that was lost until you find it? I imagine the crowd would have a hard time taking Jesus seriously here. Many would answer, Jesus, I have never lost a sheep. Many peasants did not own 100 sheep. That's a pretty big herd. So in that number alone, the story indicates someone with means, which perhaps would also lead folks to believe it would be far more likely to fail to notice if one was missing. Perhaps even impossible to notice one is missing out of 100. I mean, the kids have taken some, and there's still a lot of marshmallows left. 100's a big number. Sheep are hard to count. They all look the same. They wander around. They may be clustered together, and they all start to blend, right? That's like the camouflage thing. Nobody would leave 99. To go after the one. It makes no financial sense, especially leaving 99 to fend for themselves in the wilderness. Come on. I had it confirmed in my little rural church in Minnesota back in the day. Sheep are not remarkably bright creatures. 99 sheep left to their own devices will scatter, get stuck in a fence post, and they cannot back up. They'll fall over, get picked off by wolves and foxes. Come on, just count your loss, one, and move on. The title of this parable should be The Careless Shepherd. For the one who leaves 99 to find just one, at the end of the day, when they get back to their original spot, they're only going to have one freaking sheep. And yet, this is the story Jesus shares. After he hears some folks grumbling about his hangout choices, why would Jesus hang out with those who left our community, who left our family, who left our faith? Luke writes that Jesus was having lunch with two different groups of people. First, the tax collectors. These were the ones who decided to work for Rome, and so they were betraying their own people, locking everyone into poverty and pocketing a percentage for themselves at the same time. Not great. So tax collectors and the other group Jesus was hanging out with were sinners. These were the wealthy who have decided to ignore the poor, forget the common welfare, take care of their own needs before the community, break the covenant to love God and love one another. These are the two groups of people that Jesus hangs out with instead of the faithful. It absolutely makes no sense. Public theologian and transgender Christian Austin Harkey takes this even one step further. He writes, "What if the lost sheep didn't wander away from the safety and goodness of the shepherd? What if it was just trying to escape the cruelty of the flock? Sheep will occasionally pick out a flock member who doesn't fit in, maybe because of an injury or a strange marking, and they'll chase that individual away. There are times when I think Christians need to see ourselves more in the 99 sheep who stayed put and ask ourselves if we may have been part of the reason the lost sheep get lost in the first place. Christians have been driving out LGBTQIA people away from the church for decades, and then asking us why we won't come back and repent. It makes me wonder, dear ones, who would you put in the category of lost? Who is not here at church today? Who is missing out on hearing that God loves them, cares for them, calls them beloved, and celebrates who they are? This story is such a powerful reminder for us what is at stake when just one sheep gets lost. For it's not just about one sheep. It was never just about one sheep. It's about the integrity of the flock as a whole. Austin Harkey again. Saving just the main group or just individuals wouldn't do any good because the flock is more than the sum of its parts. When Jesus goes after that lost sheep, what he is telling the flock, what he's telling us, is that we are not complete without each other. You see, as soon as that owner recognizes their loss, they take whatever steps are needed in order to bring the whole group back together for wholeness. Even a missing 1% must be noticed. Jewish New Testament scholar Amy Jill Levine shares that parables must be good news, and they also must challenge us. And so the good news here is that no matter how lost we feel, God will always find us. God's love is there for you, dear beloved, and God will chase you down. And Amy Jill Levine puts the challenge this way. Perhaps we too have lost something or someone. Before the search can begin, we need to notice who is not there. When was the last time we took stock and counted up who is present rather than simply counting on their presence? And will we take responsibility for the losing? And what effort are we willing to make to find them again? at last, if this fellow can experience such joy in finding one out of 100 sheep, what joy do we have? What joy do we experience when we find what we have lost? Dear ones, I can't help think that all of these good questions that this parable brings up is what we are doing with our strategic planning work. This is the work we are doing as we are crafting our own welcome statement this spring. It's this in-between space between lost and found. The seeking and finding and welcoming and celebrating. For we have a ridiculous shepherd who will always go to great lengths so that we know we are not lost to God. To share off our grief and our shame and our pain that we needlessly shoulder on our own. And so we too need to remember that God is also the God of our neighbors, of the strangers, of the people we avoid talking to. Our God is the God of the ones who are not here this morning. And so I gave the kids handprints, but you all have orange sticky notes on your bulletins, huh? Sneaky, sneaky. I'd like you to reflect and think about, who is someone that you think is lost? Who is someone that is missing from our flock, our community, our congregation, that we need to make an explicit, intentional welcome to because they're not here yet? Who has the church harmed that we need to say we're sorry to? And if you want a second challenge, what does an extravagant, ridiculous, leave the 99 to chase the one party, welcome, celebration look like to you? I invite you to answer those two questions, and you can just write a word or answer and stick it in the offering plate. Give it to me after church. For Jesus today poses this question. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness to go after that one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Amen. Thanks be to God.